Thank you very much, Rabbi Yaris, and to the rest of the speakers for their words. Thanks to all of you for coming. Special thank you, of course, to the sponsors for this program in general, which is dedicated by Rabbi Avram Aryeh Witte and Leah Etta Witte, as well as Rebbetzin Shulamit P. Witte, in memory of Rabbi Yitzchak Witte, Zichrono Lebracha, Rabbi Yitzchak Amliel ben Rav Noach Halevi Zal Yehi Zichro Baruch. And hopefully our shir should serve as an ilui neshama for him. Note that as the earlier speakers have mentioned, his yahrzeit is coming up this week on the 23rd of Tammuz. I'd also like to thank on that note Rabbi Yaris for his personal reflections on Rabbi Yitzchak Witte Zichrono Lebracha. I too have certain memories of him from shul. He sat a couple of rows behind our David's Indiana clan in Clanton Park Synagogue. So, you know, whenever I was running out of shul to eat some candy or do what else, you know, I would pass by Rabbi Witte Zichrono Lebracha on my way out. The only thing I clearly remember learning from him was what a solar plexus was. Now, why that is the case, I can't tell you here, but I guess those who knew him better than me will perhaps understand that a little bit. But certainly only fond memories on my end as well. And his neshama should have Malia from our learning here today. My topic for today is something which also relates a little bit to shul and my memories of shul. I'm just going to pull up here the source sheet on the screen that we have here, so that way I can share with everybody. A moment. And that is, we titled it Announcing a Fast. What for? The reason why is because while we're thinking of being in shul and while we're thinking of leaving shul, especially the time around Haftarah, the time around sometimes as a kid, the rabbi's speech, although of course no one would ever do that now, is that in the Italian Siddur, which I daven from on a daily basis with my family's Italian historical roots, I noticed that in that section of davening somewhere around where we announce Rosh Chodesh, somewhere around Afarachamim and the Mishaberachs and Yikum Purkan, after the Haftarah, in that section there's a very strange section which I always wondered about. Now, I could put together what it was, even though my command of Italian is not phenomenal, because of the Hebrew words that were there. And it seemed to be some sort of announcement of upcoming fast days. And this always made me very curious. And I never had a chance to look into it until this Learnathon. So I figured this would be something that relates to fasting. As we'll see, it relates a little bit to the period of mourning over the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, I thought this would be an appropriate topic to conclude our Learnathon this morning. So the source of this practice actually is found in as basic a source to Halacha and Minhag as the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. If one looks at source number one, they can find that in Orach Chaim 550, which is the laws of fasts, B'Shabbat Kodem Litzom, or B'Shabbat Kodem Hatzom, on the Shabbat, which precedes a fast day, meaning the fast day falls sometime in the next week. Machriz Shaliach Tzibur Hatzom, the Shaliach Tzibur, the person who is davening for the Yamod, the Chazin, the person leading the prayers, should announce the fast day. It says Shulchan Aruch Chutz Mi Tisha B'Av, Vitzom Kippur, Vitzom Purim. There are three exceptions to this rule, says Shulchan Aruch. Exception number one is the 9th of Av. Exception number two is Yom Kippur, and exception number three is the fast of Purim, which of course refers to Ta'anit Esther, normally the day before Purim when we fast, although again, it can happen that it will actually be a couple of days before Purim. B'simaneich, and he says the hint, the reminder as to which 3 days we will not announce the fast day on the Shabbat before is Akaf Alav Pihu, which is a verse in Mishle, and the letters Aleph, Chaf, and Pei actually spell out, hint to the three fasts that we mentioned. Aleph stands for the fast of Av, Kaf stands for the fast of Kippur, and Pei stands for the fast of Purim. And the Ramah writes on this, Uminag ha'ashkenazim shelo lahachriz shum echad mehen. The custom, however, of the Ashkenazim, of those who come from Ashkenazi lands, Shulchan Aruch, of course, is writing as someone who is Sephardic and noting Sephardic custom. The Ashkenazim, he says, do not do this. And this Shulchan Aruch really brings us to three basic questions that we should keep in mind throughout the entire shir, and that many people that address this minhag actually bring up, which is question number one, what is the source, what is the basis for this minhag in first place? Why should someone get up in shul and announce a fast day? Question one. Question number two, as you can see in front of you, okay, let's assume that for whatever the reason is, and of course this is what we're going to explore today, someone should be announcing fast days. Why exclude all of those other fast days that we saw? Does that really make sense? Why skip Tisha B'Av? Why skip Tinus Esther? Why skip Yom Kippur? Question number three, which is going to be, why does the Ramah disagree? If there is in fact a good reason for announcing it, why didn't the Ashkenazi population also have this custom? And these three questions are really the central questions that we're going to explore today by looking at a number of different approaches that can be found in different records of this custom, which will allow us to understand why this may have been the custom in some places and not others, for some fasts and not others, and to really sort of bring things all together for this topic. So approach number one, again, and I think that people would be able to piece this year together pretty well, even if you just have the source sheet. Approach number one is to say, maybe this is just a reminder. And for that, we have a wonderful, wonderful discussion, which is in a sefer called Nahar Mitzrayim, which was an Egyptian sefer from the early 1900s, commenting on a sefer of Egyptian customs that was published, you know, not long before that, after the time of the Shulchan Aruch, but still before then. And this listing of the Egyptian customs wrote very clearly that the Egyptian custom is unlike Shulchan Aruch. It actually follows the ruling of the Ashkenazim, even though Egypt traditionally was a Sephardic community. In this regard, however, they did not have the custom to announce any of the fasts. And this is the custom in Egypt, and that's the end of the story. Now, Nahar Mitzrayim was a book written in response, really, not to oppose or object in most cases, but simply to record what the customs were still in the 1900s and to discuss these customs of Egypt. So that's where we begin, and I'm going to read my English translation here, even though it's not as good as the original Hebrew. And I see there are some chats coming. I'm going to do what I can to answer questions whenever possible, but with the little time that we have left, I'm going to try to get through the sources first and then see if we have some extra time. And once again, the source sheet has now been put in the chat for those of you who do not have it or do not want to just simply view the screen share. So, Nahar Mitzrayim writes, he is very upset with this custom of Egypt that they did not announce the fast. And he writes, secondly, we have heard many legitimate complaints from God-fearing Jews who have unintentionally transgressed and eaten on the 17th of Tammuz from their lack of knowledge as to which day of the week the fast was on. Since they regularly do business with the non-Jews, they exclusively follow the solar calendar in accordance with the counting of the local citizens and government. And he writes, they have a legitimate grievance against the Beis Din, who did not alert them, meaning to the fast. Is this not the reason for the announcement which the Shulchan Aruch ruled in accordance with the view of the Abu Darham, in order to notify the people of the day of the week on which the fast falls and to remind them not to forget it? Therefore, he explains, on the fasts of Av, Kippur, and Purim, which we mentioned above, which are well known, and each one has certain matters that are attached to it, which will not allow for forgetting which day it falls on, they did not require announcing. If so, he writes, the entire point of announcing is to prevent people from transgressing. And his issue was that many people in Egypt in his day didn't even know when any of these fasts were. And he says, you know who's to blame? Those who abolished this custom. The whole purpose of the custom was to alert the community to this. And therefore, he says, people who stopped this custom of announcing the fast, as he continues here, if so, for what reason was this custom removed? Without reason, without basis, without logic. Therefore, one should not pay attention to the custom of not announcing the fast at all. We commanded those leading the prayers to announce the day of the fast, as it is written in the prayer. And then he quotes to the prayer that some people say. And what he says basically will jump to his conclusion here. One who protests against this change that he is suggesting to add the announcement back into the davening is not properly paying attention to what they are doing, and they will only carry the fruit of their sins of causing the masses to eat on public fast days against their will and without their knowledge. May there be peace in Israel. My goodness, this was a fiery piece where he basically says it's quite obvious to him that the focus and the purpose of the announcement as required by Shulchan Aruch is to alert people to the fast day. And he says, I see with my own eyes here in Egypt, and this is only 100-odd years ago, he says that many people are eating on fast days because they simply don't know when Shivasar B'Tammuz is. He says, and therefore, when it comes, however, to the three fasts that we listed above, the fasts of Av, Kippur, and Purim, he says those either have something connected to them or are very well known. Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are much higher profile fasts, and therefore, people know when they happen. No one's going to accidentally eat on Yom Kippur because they didn't know when it was happening. Tanit Esther, one could suggest that what he's referring to is the fact that it always precedes Purim, and people will know when Purim is. So therefore, they'll know by extension when the fast of Purim Tanit Esther is. And therefore, one could say there's no need to announce those fasts. However, the other fasts, which people won't know about, like the Asara Beteve, Chivasar Betamos, etc., one would say that you should announce those fasts. And that would be the purpose. Therefore, the reason for the Ashkenazim not announcing the fasts might be if in their communities, people were more aware of these fasts. If that's the reason why the Shulchan Aruch says yes to announce, then the Rama might say don't announce because people already know about it. It's simply not necessary to add a prayer in order to remind people of it because they may already know. And the truth is, what was bothering me a little bit is that the rationale for Ta'anit Esther not having to be announced is somewhat questionable. If we think about it, the one which I would think would not need to be announced more so than Ta'anit Esther might be Tzom Gedalia, for the reason that it follows Rosh Hashanah, a very critical day on the Jewish calendar. It's hard for me to believe that in Egypt they weren't aware of the fast of Gedalia, which again follows Rosh Hashanah immediately. And in fact, if one looks at another record of this minhag, the Orchot Chaim, who traveled between France, maybe a little bit close to Spain, he was in the 14th century or so, although we're not 100% certain exactly when this work was written, as well as where. There's also some confusion as to the author, although academics now think they've pinpointed the correct author. But he actually lists, he says, V'al dalet ha-tzamot shen yudzayin b'tamuz v'tet b'av v'tzom gedalia b'yud b'tevit machriz b'shabbat shalif mehem. Tzom ploni yeh yom ploni. He says, on these four fasts, 70th of Tammuz, 9th of Av, fast of Gedalia, and 10th of Tevet, we announce on the Shabbat before them that a particular fast should be on a particular day. And finally, he says, V'al tet be'av v'tzom Gedalia, yesh omrim she'en machrizin alehem lefi she'em yiduim lakol. He says, however, the 9th of Av and Tzom Gedalia, everybody knows those, therefore there's no need to announce. However, as we can see, there are those who disagreed with this point. There are those who said you actually have to announce all of these fasts. What might be the reason for that? And for that, we turn to approach number two, an acceptance of the fast. This is a very complicated topic in terms of what constitutes accepting a fast, specifically in regard to the different fasts that we fast during the year, those that we consider more minor fasts and those that we might consider major fasts, as well as those that are fasts simply that an individual obligated themselves in. And I'm not here to outline the halachos of accepting a fast, whether it has to, when it has to be, exactly what has to be said, but we are going to discuss the status of these fasts in Jewish history. And that is based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in source number 4. The Talmud tells us, Damar Rav Chana bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, mai dichtiv? What is it that the, again, the Navi tells us in Zechariah, Zechariah mentions that these four fasts, fast of the fourth, fast of the fifth, fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth, which refer to those four fasts that were listed above in the Orchot Chaim, 17th of Tammuz, 9th of Av, fast of Gedalia, and the 10th of Tevet traditionally, says the Talmud, they are fasts, but yet, Zechariah mentions they will be lissason ul-simcha, joy and gladness. Asks the Talmud, Kari lehu tzom v'kari lehu sason v'simcha. On the one hand, it calls them a fast day, which seems to be something negative, something sad, mourning. On the other hand, it says they're going to be happy. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Bizman sheyesh shalom yihyu l'sason u'simcha. When there is peace, which is traditionally interpreted as when the Beit HaMikdash will be built, there these fasts, these days will not be days of fast, but they will be l'sason u'simcha. Ain shalom, however, if there is no peace, meaning in times of war and times where there is no Beit HaMikdash, som. These are days on which we fast. Ain shalom doesn't necessarily mean there's no Beit HaMikdash. It means if there's a time when things are not good for the Jews in the world, when there is some sort of war, because this is refined by Rav Papa. Amar Rav Papa, hachi ka'amar, this is what it's saying. Bizman sheyesh shalom, yihyu l'sason u'l'simcha. At a time when there is peace, they will be for shalom u'simcha. Yesh gzeirat ha-malchut. And here's how he reinterprets that. If there is persecution, then we fast. Ein gzeirat ha-malchut ve'ein shalom. But if there is no persecution of the Jewish people But still, there is no Beit HaMikdash. Ratzu mit anin, ratzu ein mit anin. These fasts that are listed in the verse, says Rav Papa, it depends. If we're in a very bad time, we've got to fast. If we're in a very good time, we're not allowed to fast. But if we're in neither, if we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, but there's no particular persecution against the Jewish people at that time, then it actually falls in the hands of the people. If people want to fast, they can. If people don't want to fast, they can. They don't have to. And that's really the way that this Gemara says it. And the Gemara asks this about Tisha B'Av, because for Tisha B'Av, messengers were sent out to alert the people of the days which Tisha B'Av was going to be falling on. And the Gemara concludes in this last line that Tisha B'Av is such a bad day, there's no out. Even when there's no persecution against the Jewish people, we still have to fast as a community. In terms of how this boils down lehalacha, we have the custom of fasting all of these fasts. And no one really would say nowadays that someone can just say, I'm opting out of fasting for these fasts. But Tisha B'Av is considered to be on a different level. Tisha B'Av is a day on which it was never permitted not to fast. Whereas on these other days, they were sort of what, you know, dependent on what the communities thought. And the Gra, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch on this point, says, this is exactly the purpose of announcing the fast. Why? If, in fact, at some points in Jewish history, and quite likely at the times that this minhag developed, this was indeed the case, it still wasn't 100% certain as to whether or not the community had accepted fasting. So what would they do? The Shabbos before the fast, they'd get up in shul and they'd say, we are going to fast on this and this day. That was the acceptance of the community of this fast, which was technically still dependent on whether they wanted to or not. And therefore, says the Gra, it needs some sort of, you know, concretization on the Shabbat before we get up and we say, as a community, we are planning on fasting this fast day. And that was how the custom developed. However, he says, when it comes to the other fasts, as the Gemara mentioned, Tisha B'Av is not included. Tisha B'Av, we always have to fast. So there would be no need to accept it as a community on the Shabbat before. Yom Kippur, of course, there's no question that we have to fast it. That's in the Torah. That's not subject to any customs. It's not even in that verse. And finally, says the Gra, and he continues in source number 5, Aval ta'anit ester kavuahu, kemo shekatav Rambam, divrei tzomot v'za'akatam, that he quotes a Rambam and a Ravid, who say that, yes, ta'anit ester is actually more set in stone than these other fasts, again, the four fasts except for Tisha B'Av, and therefore he says, the fasts of ta'anit ester, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, those are set in stone. Those are not dependent on the will of the community. However, these other three fasts of Shiva Aser B'Tammuz, Aser B'Teves, and Tzom Gedalia, those are dependent on the will of the community. And thus, he says, that's why those are the ones that have to be announced in order to say we are accepting these fasts on our community this time. The Rama, on the other hand, disagrees. And again, this is going back to our original set of questions. Why might the Rama disagree? Because it could be that at the time that this minhag was starting up, many had already said, this is considered that we have already accepted these customs. There's a lot of early literature surrounding this to know to what degree the acceptance took place at different points in Jewish history. There are many, many strong statements by some Rishonim. Other Rishonim seem to say it's somewhat malleable. But one can say that the split between Ashkenaz and Sfarad on this matter is simply because in one place it was considered more established that we fasted, and therefore the Rama, and perhaps generally Ashkenazi Poskim, ruled that one didn't need any sort of acceptance for the community to fast, and everybody had to fast, regardless of whether it was announced on Shabbat. Whereas in Sephardic communities, there was still a need to, again, formalize the fast in advance in accordance with the Gemara that we read. So approach number one, we talked about it just being an announcement to let people know. And therefore, if there's a need to let people know, we're going to announce. If there's not a need to let people know, we don't announce. We then said that possibly it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's actually some sort of acceptance of the fast in advance. And that works as well. That particularly works well, as we said, with Tzom Gedalia, because otherwise one would assume Tzom Gedalia is particularly well known and doesn't seem to quite fit the first definition, but fits the second definition very well. The Aruch HaShulchan, by the way, takes this Gra as well, and he uses that to explain this halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Others as well discuss this. There is a long discussion of it as well in Rabbi Professor Sperber's books on Minhag. He talks a little bit more about the technical rules of acceptance and the technical status of these fasts, but we're going to stop with this for this approach. I'd like to, however, present one final approach in our last few minutes here. And that is to think of framing this tefillah within the other part of davening that it already is. And for this, we look to one of the earliest records of this minhag altogether, which is found in the Machzor Vitri, who was a student of Rashi, lived in France in the around the 11th, 12th century. And in Siman 190, he says the following. I brought you some context here so you can see where this prayer appears and how it appears. So first he brings us the prayer that we recite in advance of Rosh Chodesh. And I cut out a whole bunch of that, but it's approximately, it's basically equivalent to what we say on the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh. In that, we have prayers before and after, and we announce in the middle, and we say, may this month be a wonderful month, a great month, a happy month, and everybody says, Amen, 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 Bishamim, Bi'itam, Yiras Shemaim, Yiras Chait. Everything is, you know, is our prayer for what will be in this coming month. And then he says the following, Ukeshachal ta'anit katuv, and when one of these fast days, which is written in the verse in Zechariah, will fall, Bishabbat haba'a, in the following week, Yomar hachi, he should say the following, which was there was apparently some known text that people would recite. And then you would say the following. Som ploni yom ploni zeh haba aleinu. The fast of such and such, on the day of such and such, which is approaching. Yahafchenu hakadosh baruch hu lanu l'chol Yisrael esasonu simcha. May God turn this into a day of happiness, rejoicing, gladness, us and for the entire Jewish people. Livracha, for blessing, lishalom, for peace, vinomar, amen, and let us say amen, kakasuv, as it's written in the verse in Zechariah that we mentioned, ko amar Hashem, tzvakos, tzomar v'iv, tzomar chameshi, tzomar shvi'iv, tzomar siri, yelevet yudalas asanos, yonchol moadim tovim, haimet v'ashalom ehavu. This is a very interesting idea, is that if we look at it in its placement next to the Birchat HaChodesh, we refer to that tefillah as a blessing for the month. It is our request from Hashem, as you can see clearly from the language of the blessing before Rosh Chodesh, that it's supposed to be, we're asking of God that this be a good month for us. Perhaps one could suggest, based on this Machzor Vitri, specifically the fact that he identifies the fast that we announce as the fast of the verse, is that this also is a prayer of hope for the coming week. As if we look in the verse, which we've mentioned a couple of times already, right? Thus said the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful seasons. Therefore love ye truth and peace. The purpose of this verse is to tell us that there will be a time when the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, as we mentioned in the Gemara, and there will be rejoicing and happiness. And that, perhaps, we could read into the Machzor Vitri is the purpose of the announcement of prayer, that we hope that these specific fasts, these four fasts, will be those days that are the ones that are turned into these days of happiness and rejoicing. And that's why we place it where we do in this part of davening. And we ask of God, please, God, make these fasts into happy days rather than being days of fasts. Now, this leaves us still with two questions. This would be a reason as to why someone might announce the fast days. Okay, it's a prayer. It's a public prayer to God that Tuesday, instead of being a fast day, will be a day of rejoicing. That's fine. But why skip Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, and Ta'anit Esther? And number two, why don't the Ashkenazim do that too? Seems like a nice idea. So for this, we have to look back at the Machzor Vitri, and we note that he actually makes no exceptions. He doesn't say there's an exception for Tisha B'Av. He doesn't say there's an exception for any other days. He only says the days which you do say it on are those written in the verse, those four fasts. So Ta'anit Esther and Yom Kippur are excluded because they're not mentioned in that verse in Zechariah. And the other four days are days which will be made into rejoicing. The other question is, why wouldn't Ashkenazim do this as well? And it's possible that this still is a little too pessimistic. There was even a custom in terms of Shabbos Mevarchim, where again, we bless the coming month, that some had the custom to omit this blessing for the month of Av because it's a sad month. And one could also argue, as does Nitei Gavriel in Hilchot Chanukah, which is about Asar B'Tevid when it gets to chapter 60, Ve'od b'chdei shelo le'orer dikaon nefesh v'itzvon ruach b'yom Shabbat Kodesh. Says maybe the Ashkenazim, they didn't really want to do this because this is sad. We're reminding people of fast. It's true that we're praying for happiness, but better, you know, just leave it as it is. Keep that out of it. However, What we could take from this is that the purpose of this announcement is to plead to Hashem for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash quickly within the next week. And that's why we take a step back on the Shabbos before and we say, Hashem, please turn these fasts. And these fasts will include not only those that we mentioned above, but not in accordance with Shulchan Aruch. We also pray, if this is the case, for the specifically for the fast of Tisha B'Av, which is the day on which we mourn the Beit HaMikdash, to be turned into a day of rejoicing and happiness. May we soon see the fulfillment of this prophecy and the fulfillment of our prayers that God do so for us in a timely manner, even if it is not our custom to announce such things in shul on the Shabbat before. Thank you all very, very much. Just a couple of quick things to announce on our way out. Number one, thank you again to all of you for coming, to all of the speakers for today, all of those behind the scenes doing the technical help, to our sponsors. And once again, it should serve as an aliyat neshama for Rabbi Yitzchak Widdy Zal, Rav Yitzchak Gamliel ben Rav Noach Halevi, Yitzchak Baruch. In addition to that, we have, although we're winding down for the year and there aren't that many more programs that we have, we do have a summer program of daily dose videos. And you can sign up for those on our website at the link, which I'm going to post in the chat in just a moment, torontotorah.com daily dose. You can register there and you'll receive emails with video Divrei Torah on a daily basis from different members of the Beit Midrash over the summer break. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks to all the rabbis. Thank you so much.